John what?
1 John 5 and 10. Okay. Mm-hmm. 1 John 5 and 10, one more time. 1 John 5 and 10. Now, Brother Blanton, you know that I said that.
I'm not going to go against your wife.
Okay,
well, yeah. That goes to court. I'm not going to testify.
We know that you said something.
No way.
Okay, thank you. All right. Hope is to own.
Hope is to own.
Ace is to own. We own.
We own.
To.
To.
Eke. Pain. Maturion.
Maturion.
In,
alto,
ho, may, fission, to, siu, sustain, pepoiken, alto, hote, u, pepistuken, ace, pain, materion, pain, Memar to Rekin.
Memar to
Rekin. Ho, Theos,
Harry,
to, Wiu, Altu. All right, that's a long verse, and there's a lot in this verse also. We covered about three or four verses last week. We've made a little more progress. We're about to finish with 1 John, but there's some really good stuff in the tail end of this book. And that's what we're beginning to see. Ho is, there are three definite articles in Greek. Three genders of definite articles. Who can tell me what they are? Ho, hey, to. All right. Ho, hey, to. A young Greek. Ho, hey, to. Ho is masculine. Feminine is hey, and to is neuter. All right, this is a nominative singular masculine definite article. All right, the one believing, nominative singular masculine present participle active, nominative singular masculine. See that ho in the front of it, that definite article? That tells you basically that this is nominative singular masculine. That's an indicator. Okay, so as you see that right off, you know that it's nominative singular masculine, the word following, and this is a present participle active, and if it's a nominative singular masculine, it's going to have an omega and a nu on the end of it. Okay? That's how you tell it.
And maybe just simply the one.
Uh-huh. The one. The one there is a practical substantive. It is a, the idea of the person standing there is understood. The one.
Understood.
Yeah, that's what you call a practical substance. The one believing, the one constantly believing, habitually believing, ace, tone, and wheon. Ace, that's the ace in Greek. Here you have ace in Greek. All right. Ace in Greek. Now, what would be that in Hebrew? Uh-huh. What's the sign of the direct opposite in Hebrew? These two are basically, when you see this, in Genesis 1:1, it says, Abarashit bara, Elohim, et. Hashemayim, we et, haaretz. All right? The sign of the direct object. Here we have here, in Greek, we have a sign that tells us this preposition. If you want to look that up on page 119 in your analytical lexicon, it's there. All right, and you can read all about it, and it'll take up just about the whole space there, because there's a lot about ace, and we're going to study about ace tonight. And by the way, there's no ice in ace.
I do know what I was thinking.
I got you.
No, I wasn't. I don't use ice. It's ace.
Remember Brother Hubbard saying that?
Yeah.
Brother Hubbard used to say, there's no ice in ace.
No, that's this.
The incorrect way of saying epsilon iota is ice.
Yeah, that is not true, because
Brother Hubbard used to say there's no ice in ace. It's ace. No, all right? Your Greek grammars will tell you it is I.
Yeah.
Well, your real Greek, I mean your German Greek grammars will tell you it's ice. Your Greek grammars will tell you it is A.
E-I is A. Pronounced
A.
Well, that's because they're...
Just like eight.
That's just right. They're pronouncing it like Reimer. R-E-I.
That's right. It is like eight. All right?
Yeah. Germans happen to think that their way is the only way.
That's right. I remember. Yeah. I remember Brother Herbert told me he could never convince Dieter Burgstorfer of that. That was not going to happen. It would not happen. For 5 years, he said, I fought and wrestled with that boy, and when I went down and I started the same thing, he said, oh, no, not again.
Yeah.
Let's see if it works this time. No. And you know what? In about a month or so, I was converted. I figured it out.
Yeah.
One thing, I went down to my Greek friend, I said, how do you say that? He said, ace. Ace.
Yeah.
And then I had him read the whole book of Ephesians for me, and I took it to Brother Hubbard, and I let him hear it. He said, man, Brother James, he said, that's good.
Yeah.
But he straightened out the pronunciations, because he could read Koine Greek, and that pronunciation was handed down from generation to generation in what we call the Greek Orthodox Church. Okay? They did read Greek still. The one believing, ace, tone, we own. All right? Ace there. So what is tone there? What that's a definite article, too.
Sometimes that's a little hard.
All right. There we have the ace, tone, wheel. Tone. Accusative, singular, masculine. Definite article. And do you see how the ending on the next word is wheel? Tone, wheel? See that?
That's accusative, too, isn't it?
That's accusative, singular, masculine. Because the definite article agrees with the noun that it is modifying or describing or pointing at.
Is the own always accusative?
It will be, in this case, yes.
But it's not always.
It can be neuter.
Okay.
But in this case, we know that it's masculine. Because we own is a masculine word in it.
All right.
And then we have tooth to you. Now look at tooth to you. Tell me about tooth to you now that you're learning. What does tooth to you say? We have accusative singular masculine with omicron nu. Now, to you, we have omicron ipsilon there. What do we have here? We have genitive singular masculine definite article. Okay? Genitive singular masculine definite article. That's in the genitive case. The case of possession. The case of ownership. Okay? There are 8 cases in Greek. Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative, accusative, and vocative. Singular and masculine. I mean singular and plural, that is. I want all of those. The one believing, habitually, unto the Son or because of the Son, all right, of the God, Eke. Oase omenete usi hein. This is third person singular, present, indicative, active. Comes from echo. All right. All right. He has, he continually has, always, Tain maturion, the witness. See that? He has. Now we have accusative singular. All right. The witness. In auto. In preposition, page 137, if you want to write that one down so you can look at all about the preposition in. In auto. Auto is in what we call the locative case there. Locative singular masculine, the third person pronoun. And it's he auto in the one you look at. In yours?
This is our word here.
Okay. In him or in himself. All right. If you put an epsilon on the front of that, it means it's reflexive, third personal pronominal adjective. All right. He has continually the witness in himself. And then it says here, we have a semicolon there. Do you see that little dot up there? It looks like a period about halfway up that word. That's a semicolon. All right? That's what we call a punctuation mark in Greek. Now, the original uncials didn't have punctuation marks. All the words were written together and everything else. This was later. But this helps you understand. But that's not inspired, okay? Somebody punctuated it later.
But it's pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. All right? And then we have hold.
Again.
All right? What? Is that? That hole there. What is that? What is that thing? All right, go on, but what is it?
An article.
It's a nominative singular masculine definite article. Hope there is grown or thrown. All right.
The one that started it.
Yeah, the definite article. Now, what does it describe now? There's a particle of negation between it and the thing it's describing. The one not believing. Okay. That not may there, that's a particle of negation. If you want to write down the page, it's on page 268. All right? But the one believing, all right, that comes from pistio, that's nominative singular, masculine, present, participle, active. See, now you can tell what that is because the definite article is a nominative singular, masculine, isn't it? Are you learning a little more now? Mm-hmm. A little step deeper. All right? The one believing. Now we don't have an N here. All right? But we have an N right up here before the semicolon. See that? So that carries over into this one, so we don't have to be redundant. Put an N down here. The one believing, tothu. To is locative singular masculine again. All right? Definite article, locative singular masculine noun. In the God, theu. It's os, on a. That's all the eight cases. That's the way it is. Okay? In the God. Now here's a real strong language here. This is not, this language is not something you would want to use on the street today when you come up and somebody starts lying to you and say, well, you're a liar. You ever hear anybody
if
start I, this?
If I want him to know he's a liar, I'll tell him.
Yeah, that's not politically correct today, but Paul or the Apostle.
No, but it eliminates a lot of conversation.
That's right. The Apostle.
And any doubt.
The Apostle John here, 1 John 5 and 10, he's to the one not believing in God, liar. Liar. What is a liar?
That's an offspring of Satan.
Yeah, yeah. Satan is called a liar, isn't he?
Yeah, he's the father of it.
Yeah. He's one that deceives, one that leads astray, one that is... how about half of the religious world today, or if you really got out, if you took the Gospel of John and then 1 John here that we've been studying, if you took those books, you would be calling half of the religious world liars, wouldn't you?
Half of them? I bet you more than that.
That's crazy.
Half the world population almost is Muslim.
Yeah. Liars.
Yeah.
Liars. In the God, liar, he has made. Now, what is the purpose? What is the writing? What is the whole reason for John's first John?
To show that Christ is God.
That shows that Christ is God in flesh.
In flesh, right.
Absolutely, that Christ is God in flesh.
No doubt.
That's the purpose of the writing of the book. So we know that's the number one thing. So if you're a universalist, Unitarian, if you're a Seventh-day Adventist, in some ways, if you are
Mormon
or Jehovah's Witnesses, especially Jehovah's Witnesses are direct descendants of the Gnostics of this day. I mean, they're right down the line with the Gnostics at this time. This book is written completely against their doctrines.
Or the other way around, their book is written completely against this book.
Yeah. Their translations are written completely against this. Yeah. So a liar
in English would just say, because of your unbelief, you're a liar?
That's right. A liar, you have made God.
Yeah.
Well, liar, you have
God is testifying in this book that he became flesh.
That's called blasphemy. Yeah. That's called blasphemy.
Yeah, it is. When you deny the deity of Christ and the deity of that Christ in flesh, you are blaspheming God.
God's purpose is to show that His Son.
The purpose of this book is to prove that.
Yeah.
And if you don't believe that, then you are saying God is a liar.
Yeah.
You have made God a liar.
Don't do that.
So we don't want to do that.
No.
If you took this one verse out of this book, you could try to convert a Jehovah's Witness or a Herbert Armstrong-eyed or a Ted Armstrong bunch, but they would probably deny it, and they would try to lead you away from it. But if you stay right here and find the purpose of the writing of this book, they either call in God. If God says that I have become flesh, and I dwelt among you, and you well beheld my glory, all right? And 1 John tells us that he really lived in flesh that we could touch and see and feel and hear and see.
We know it.
He appeals to all of the senses of the witnesses.
Yeah.
And then he tells to us, when you have born again, you have the witness in you.
Yeah, very
because good. You know.
Yeah.
All right? In him, and the one not believing in the God liar, he has made him. Yeah. That him there should be capital. Because that him, that is accusative singular masculine third person pronoun, that's God.
That's the word of God. That's is right up to God here.
Yep.
Can you write up a fool in Lucius for us?
I remember how. It's just about like that.
How to.
Yeah. It's not a whole lot of difference in this word. Okay. In him. All right. That's. No, wait a minute. I didn't remember correctly. The capital is like that.
You see how loving we are. We did not jump on you for making that mistake. We just let it pass. We
knew all right.
I caught it right off, though.
You caught it right off,
though. I knew that you would.
I'll tell.
We don't want
that's the way it is in you, Seals, okay? Because, Hote, page 294, if you want to write that down so you can look it up later. Because not, who, adverb of negation, all right? That Hote is a conjunction or casual particle, and then we have the adverb of negation. And how should you really translate that not? Do you remember? David, do you remember how you did that? That not? When it's an adverb, what's it got on the end of it? What's it got on the end of it? What's an adverb usually have on it? Gently?
L-Y.
All right.
Notly?
Notly. In reality, it should be notly because it's an active not. All right? It's active. Because notly, actively not, he has believed. Third person singular, perfect indicative active. If you don't believe that God walked in flesh in the Son, then you have not believed.
And you have a terrible future.
Yes.
You did not much to look forward to.
That's right. Because not, he has believed, eistein martyrion. The word martyr comes from that. He has not believed in the entain materion. Now, this is a good place to introduce you into the idea of extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. What did I just quote?
I have no idea.
Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. This is one I throw at you all the time. When Brother Ken went back to the Louisville, Kentucky Seminary, he came back and he said, boy, they teaching baby Greek back there, Brother Ken. But I started quoting off all these grammars and rules of grammars. They said, what? The teachers didn't even know what he was talking about. Well, this is advanced reading and research. Then a little bitty beginning grammar, you know, you learn a lot of this. But if you get into it later, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action gives you the idea of the word ace. Page 119, that's where you're going to find all this stuff. But you've got to learn it from the grammars. And you've got to learn it from the syntax of the verses that you study. All right? Someone turned to Acts 2:38 for me. We're going to look at this. Ace, pain, witness. It should be because of the witness. That's why it should be translated. Because of the witness. Extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. The action is going to go forward or backwards, according to the syntax. And we're going to find out something here. Acts 2:38. Let's look at that.
Oh,
in King James, it's definitely written down there like the Church of England believes. All the way. Absolutely. We've got to correct him just a little. Are you there, Sister Kathy? Can you read it?
I don't have
King James. Oh, you don't have King James? Well, let's see what you're trying to do. You got King James?
No, I got the NIV.
All right. Have you got King James? All right, there, young lady. I'm going to have that young lady back there.
He brought his wrong.
All right, we got the Episcopalian Bible here. Oh, that's right. You've got your Episcopalian Bible, too.
That's
good to have an Episcopalian now and then.
You can do same Episcopalian Bible, I guarantee you.
Young lady.
And Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
All right. That's what it says there. Now, that's exactly what the Church of England taught. Did you know that? But let's see what it says in Greek. Now they said you're baptized for the remission of sins. Are you really baptized for the remission of sins?
No.
Because of the remission of sins. That's what it should say. Because of this. And actually, with the word asaphason there, if you go back in the Old Testament where it talks about the scapegoat, the term there is the one sending away, and it would be asaphason. That's the term for scapegoat. If you go back there and look at that. But Acts 2:38. Now, here's what it says in Greek. Peter stood up and said to them, each one of you, all of you, repent. All. Plural. All of you repent. But each one of you that has repented, each one, allow individually yourselves to be baptized singularly for the remission of sins, is what it says in King James, but it says because of you agree. Because you have received the remission of sins. That's why you're saved. What is the commission of the church? Don't tell me go ye therefore, because that's not what it says. What is it?
I ain't going to say it.
What is that commission? What is the Great Commission?
Make habitual learners.
Make disciples. What do you do with the disciples that you've made? So you better not say baptize them either.
Send them out.
What?
Send them out.
You dip them.
You dip them. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You make disciples, mathetes, habitual learners, and those habitual learners, you dip them.
You know baptized don't have water in it?
Huh?
You know baptized, the word doesn't have water in the definition?
No.
It doesn't. It depends on the context.
Yeah.
You'd be baptized into a lot of things.
Yeah. Dipped.
Do you pull off, didn't I?
Dipped. Dipped. Dipped in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. And you shall receive the free gift of the Holy Spirit. All right? The Comforter is what it's talking about. You shall receive that. All right? Now, let's go to Matthew 3:6-11 and see if I told you correctly or not.
By the way, my King James Bible has said the exact translation.
Yeah. You corrected it, didn't you? Brother David.
Matthew what?
David Lynn. On this side of the room. David Lynn on that side of the room, and David Lynn on this side of the room. They would have to have the same middle name. Can you believe that? I've got three or four Davids in my class, and two of them is David Lynn.
That shows you how much.
The right hand David Lynn.
What verse did you want?
I want Matthew 3:6-11. We're going to look at this. Matthew 3:6-11. This is very important. All right. The idea of grammar in this, I hope you learned a little bit of grammar, but a whole lot of Bible. That's what we're trying to do.
You want me starting 5? And then went out to Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan and were baptized of him in
Who's
Jordan.
Who's talking about? Who's him there?
John the Baptist.
All right, you're baptized by him.
Yeah.
All right, John the Baptist.
Confessing their sins.
All right, they were baptized, and they were confessing their sins.
Baptized them.
That's how they got baptized, because they confessed their sins. They didn't get baptized until they did. All right.
But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come, bring forth therefore fruits met for repentance.
All right. Fruits worthy of repentance is oxios there.
Yeah, well, show that you repented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, show that you repented, and then I will baptize you.
Yeah.
Now, what did Peter say in the second chapter? All of you repent. Only the ones that have repented allow yourselves to be dipped in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All right?
And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able to these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down.
Hold it right there. Hold it right there. This is beautiful. What did Jesus do to the fig tree in the New Testament?
He cursed it.
He cursed it. Yeah. Why?
Because it was fruitless.
It was fruitless. What did that fig tree represent?
Israel.
Israel. That represented Israel. That fig tree represented Israel. Now let's read this again. We've got to throw this in just a little bit.
And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the tree.
That's it. That's what it's talking about. The axe is laid to the root of the tree. In other words, it cut that tree down, it was dug up, and the roots were chopped off.
We can go, you see that around in orchards all around here in the valley.
Mm-hmm. Cut off and thrown out. Into the fire.
When they quit.
Now, where did what happened to Israel when they did not believe?
They were
in the fire, boy.
Yeah.
They were in the fire. They went through tribulation great during up until they still are.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. All right. Every tree that brings not forth fruit,
therefore,
is hewn down and cast into the fire. Go ahead, number 11.
Therefore, every fruit. Therefore, every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance.
Oh, yeah, let's get this straight down. I dip you in water. It doesn't say with there. It doesn't say matter. It says in.
It's hard to baptize somebody with water.
Yeah. You can't baptize them with water unless you're in back there.
You're going to have to pour it all over you, all at once.
What they did, it used to be, if they called clinical baptism. Yes. The very first case is a clinical baptism. They knew that baptism was immersion.
Mm-hmm.
And it
wasn't convenient.
And they thought that water would hurt you.
Yeah.
Back in those days, if you took a bath, you're liable to die. You know, I mean, water was bad for you. They didn't do that. They just didn't. They didn't have much hygiene at all.
Well,
yes.
In my interlinear, I've got the
New International Version.
And then the NIV on either side, mm-hmm. and they both say with.
Because they don't want to get away from King James.
They both say with, but then you go down here and you read it, and it says in fire.
That's right.
In Greek.
That's right.
Yeah, you got to watch these guys.
Well, you know why?
Right, they have an axe to grind.
Half of the religious world, at least,
yeah.
if not more, maybe three-quarters of the religious world, does not baptize anybody.
No.
They don't really dip anybody. They sprinkle or pour. They either rontizo sprinkle or nipto pour, and they do it with water.
Yeah.
So if you were going to make a translation like this, and half of them have been reading King James Version for 50 years, and you were going to sell that,
yeah.
do you think it would sell very well if it said dip in
them.
Water?
They got two choices.
There's only one person that would buy that book.
That's them.
Those that dipped for baptism in water.
So these guys got two choices. To stay where they are, where it's safe and they got a good income, or repent and be converted.
Yeah.
And they ain't about to repent and be converted.
No, they're going to sell their books.
That's right.
So now this book you can sell to everybody.
Yeah.
The Baptists will correct it when they say it.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the world will say, see, there we're right.
It's
baptized. See there, baptism, that's a right.
Correct. You can correct it.
All right. All right. And old man, I indeed, you all, I dip in water. Ace metuanoion. All right? All right. Because of repentance. Because of repentance. I'm giving you three examples in the New Testament where ace is used, and it should be translated because. We already know the subject here that John the Baptist was talking about. He wouldn't baptize anybody that hadn't repented, would he?
No.
His baptism was called a baptism of repentance. They had to repent before they were baptized.
He wasn't politically correct either.
No, he wasn't politically correct.
He didn't mind calling them snakes.
No, he said, "You brood, you generation of snakes. I indeed dip you in water because of repentance. The one after me coming, stronger and better and greater of me he is, of whom not I am worthy the sandals to tie, and he will dip you in the Spirit, holy and fire." He's talking to that church that's going to take place. That church is going to be dipped, and the Holy Spirit is going to be immersed, just like the tabernacle was back there. It was absolutely engulfed and immersed in the Holy Spirit. And the temple of Solomon, when God took possession of that, it was immersed in the Spirit of God in His Shekinah glory. Again, and there on the day of Pentecost, the church didn't get started there, but that church was there waiting, and it got dipped in the Holy Spirit. Yes, it was empowered. It was empowered, and it had the power and the leadership of the Holy Spirit there.
We still got it.
And it's still in those churches today. If you want to see the Shekinah glory of God, if you really want to get the gift of the Holy Spirit, it's in one of God's churches.
Yeah.
It's not them others out there.
And
others.
Find out what in the world it is.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Acts 2:38. Romans 1:17. Yes, Brother Bill.
You're going to have to clear something for me so I can move on, Jim.
Okay.
He mentioned something about baptism is does it mean or not mentioned in water? What Brother Blanton was saying?
It doesn't always mean. I just said that a while ago. They were immersed in the Spirit of God there.
Baptism doesn't always mean water.
No.
It depends on the context.
It depends upon the context.
You can be immersed in the mud.
But right here, yeah, you can. But they were immersed in the Holy Spirit there. They were immersed in the Holy Spirit at the Temple of Solomon and immersed in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. Okay?
Check out the context every time and read the sentence and see what the immersion is concerning.
But right here is in, and if you want to look that little word up, it's on page 137 in that analytical lexicon. You can look that one up. Okay? In. All right. Now, Romans 1 and verse 17. Romans 1:17. I can't remember what I'm even supposed to do there. Romans 1:17. Let's go and look. Where are we?
I didn't mean to mess you up, Jim.
Romans 1:17. Brother, you didn't mess me up. My brain did. I miss it greatly since I don't have it anymore. 1:17. Oh, here it is. That's now I remember. De kaiosune. All right. Righteousness.
Righteous.
For the righteousness of God, it is revealed out of faith. Ace. Pistis. Ek. Pistios. Ace. Pistis. Out of faith and because of faith.
Yeah.
Out of faith and why are you? Why do you believe?
Because
of faith.
What God
is Acts. We talked about Acts over there. We talked about Romans, the first chapter now. Talked about Matthew. Now we're looking at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 2:8. For in grace ye are having been saved. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that not out of you. The faith didn't come out of you either. That's the gift of God also. So faith, we believe because of faith. We believe out of faith. It says from faith to faith, but we have faith because it came out of faith. And both of it is a gift of God.
It's a growth process.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Remember when Jesus asked his disciples if they believed, they say, "Yes, we believe.
But help our unbelief."
Help our unbelief.
Mm-hmm. All right. Just as it has been written in Habakkuk, of course, what it's quoting, "The just man, the righteous man, out of faith he shall live." All right. Out of faith and because of faith. Out of faith and because of faith. So we have these Gnostics not believing in the witness of the Son of God. The Gnostics do not believe that Jesus Christ walked in flesh. They don't believe that.
They don't want to.
They don't want to believe.
That's a choice.
They don't want to. I got two letters from Jehovah's Witnesses here a while back just lambasting me, and this is all the way from North or South Carolina, I can't remember which place, telling me, trying to convert me, telling me how wrong I am. I'm sure they didn't listen to any of the classes. But if they did, if they listened even to 1 John, we know why 1 John is written. It's written to prove that God the Son walked in flesh.
Yeah.
He was real. What is the gospel?
Good news.
The good news. Where do you find the explanation of the gospel in the Hekinah and the Theotheke in the New Testament? 1 Corinthians 15, chapter, the first few verses there, tells you. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ came according to the Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, that He died according to those Scriptures, that He was buried according to those Scriptures, and that He was left in the grave.
Yeah,
is that what it says?
No.
That He was raised according to the Scriptures. But what do the Jehovah's Witnesses say? That He never... That Michael, the archangel, became flesh.
Yeah.
That He died on the cross of Calvary, and whatever became His body, they don't know.
Anything else, they don't know.
Now, is that a contrary to what the Gospel of John said?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do they still live in their sins?
Right.
Do they call God a liar?
Right, yeah.
Well, sure they do.
Why do they go?
Because not He has believed because of the witness. Which He has witnessed. Who witnessed it? He has witnessed third person thing in a perfect indicative. I think that's Memar Tirekin. He has witnessed. Third person singular, perfect indicative active. Comes from Martudio. Who is it? Ho Theos. God witnessed. God proved this. 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, verses 1 through 5, tells us that God became flesh, basically, according to the Scriptures. The Messiah, Jesus, Jehovah, flesh He became, lived among us, according to the Scriptures, born in the right place, born at the right time, walked into the golden gate at the right time, into the city of Jerusalem. He did exactly according to the Scriptures that Daniel wrote down, the very day concerning the Son of Him. God, concerning the two-wheel, genitive singular masculine, the Son of Him.
Oh, my goodness.
Look at that.
Isn't
that beautiful?
I'm
because what is God the Son? Who is God the Son? Is He God? Well, right here it just proves that. Concerning tu huiu autu. The Son of the Son of the Him. They're both in genitive. Because God the Son is God the Son. He is still God. Go ahead, brother.
Could I read something from Acts?
Sure.
Oh, this is great. Paul, boy, he that old boy could preach. He was saying, nor the things and those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that He would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim life to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. The really impressive thing to me is also here in Acts, the last chapter, verse 23, solemnly testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets from morning till evening. Some were persuaded and some were not.
That's right.
Man, this is so impressive. Those people preached Christ straight from the law and straight from the prophets, and we would be doing ourselves a favor, boy, if we would get into the law and the prophets and we would understand the law and the prophets, how it would build our faith. Boy, I'm telling you, there's nothing like it.
The festivals, the feast of the Old Testament, what they stood for.
Yeah.
Of course, we're doing some of that.
Mm.
But all all of the Old Testament pointed to Christ in the New Testament.
Yeah,
that's
absolutely.
What it was there for.
Absolutely.
That's what it was about. Romans 8:16, Galatians 4 and 6, Revelation 12 and verse 17, John 3:18, John 3:33, 1 John 1 and 10. All of these correspond and cross-reference to this verse.
Absolutely.
What a verse.
Yeah.
What a verse. Let's go on to verse 11 now. We're talking about the historic fact of the incarnation and resurrection as a fact in the life of a believer. You have to believe that.
Oh, yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
I've heard people say, well, I'm a Christian, but I don't believe in the Bible.
Yeah, well.
I'm a Christian, but I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son.
Well,
that's an oxymoron, isn't it?
That's really
a moron.
It's
a moron without the oxen.
All right. Yeah. This book, 1 John, is written to prove that it is a historical fact of the incarnation of Jesus Christ. Kai. Alte. Esten. Hey. Lotiria. Hote. Zoane. Aeonion. Edokin, Himen, Hol, Theos, Tai, Taute, He, Zoe, In, To, Wio, Altu, Estes. 5 and verse 11. All right, John 14 and 6, John 10 and 10, John 5, 24, John 3, 36, John 1, 4, John 3, 16, 1 John 1 and 2, 2, 25, 4 and 9, 5, 13, and 5, 20, all cross-references to this verse. And this is the witness. And this is the witness. All right, that little demonstrative pronoun there. And this, not only singular feminine, it is. Third person singular present indicative active, that estin. Hey, martyrion, or materia, that is the witness. Because, hote, conjunction or casual particle, writing down on page 294 again. Life, zoane, eternal. He gave freely. All right, edokin, third person singular, first aorist, indicative active. He gave freely. He gave. Brother Bill, this is real good for you. Remember before when you were 30-something years in the church and you didn't even know whether you saved or not, didn't know whether you're going to be saved tomorrow. You thought you might be saved today, but you didn't know about tomorrow. He gave eternal life to you. It's punctiliar action. First aorist. What's that mean? Once and for all, basically. Indicative mode. What mode? How do you describe the indicative mode?
Statement of fact.
It's what?
Statement of fact.
It's a statement of fact. An active voice. God did it. All right. He gave freely to us, him in, the God, whole theos, look at that, whole, nominative singular masculine, definite article, theos, nominative singular masculine. Now, and, how to this, nominative singular masculine, demonstrative pronoun, nominative singular feminine, I should say. This is the life, hey, zoe. You ever heard of a zoo?
Yeah.
The word zoo comes from this. Zoo is living things that you go look at.
Yeah. As okay? Opposed to bios.
Yeah, bios is, that's another kind of.
Bios?
Yeah.
You got Eola in there, okay.
Uh-huh.
Bills, all right. We'll make you happy.
Zoe and?
Yeah, I'm Bills, yeah. I'm two different Bills. Kinds of life.
Two different kinds of life. Biology, by the way, comes from Bills. Okay.
It's a study of
Zoe.
Life.
Mm-hmm. That's a study of life.
Yeah, and Zoe is life itself. I hope that I look.
That's right.
You peaked.
I cheated. You peaked. I want no difference.
This little machine is giving me trouble tonight. Work.
Damn it, Keith.
Huh?
Damn it, Keith. It won't work.
Get the beat on it a little bit. All right.
Oh,
life mind. Eternal he gave to us. Punctuated reaction. One time, Bill. That's enough. It's going to last you from now on. Eternal life is what kind of life? Momentary?
No, same as God has.
It's eternal life. All right, it's forever life, isn't it? Not something that's going to end. Eternal life that he gave to us is eternal life. So you can smile like that and say, I have eternal life. Forever.
Because God has.
Because it is eternal. It's yeah. not momentary. It's not partial. It's not for a while. It's eternal life. All right? And how do we have it? In tohu.
In
how do we have eternal life?
In the Son.
In the Son.
In His Son.
In the Son of Him.
Yeah.
All right? In tohu. Look at that. Locative singular masculine. And that preposition right in front. We have it in Him. Third person singular. I mean, the genitive singular masculine, third person pronoun, out to, in Him. And how do we have it? It exists always in Him. It is. We have eternal life that exists in Him. Absolutely.
Oh, it's His life.
Yep. It belongs to Him. Or His, the belief that we have belongs to Him.
Yeah. Everything belongs to
Him. He loans it to us. All right? 1 John 5 and 12. 5 and verse 12. Home, ek home, tone, we own, eke, tane, zoane, home, may, ek home, tone, we own, to you, tane, zoane, oop, eke. This says it as straight as we can say it. You know, when you study Greek, it doesn't beat around the bush, so I know. It tells you the way it is. It's straight out. Hold. What would that tell you? What's that hold there? What is that? Come on, you guys.
Didn't we already say that?
Yeah, we did, but we're reminding you.
Oh, I'll let some of these dummies say it this time.
All right. What's this hold? That's a definite article, and it's nominative singular masculine. So the thing that's following, remember what I told you about the Omega Nu? When it ended Omega Nu, it was a present participle active, nominative singular masculine, wasn't it? All right, so there it is. The one having, the one continuously having, tone we own, accusative singular masculine definite article, accusative singular masculine noun. The one having the Son, eke. Look at that. This is good, Brother Bill. Third person singular, present indicative active. He has forever. And continues to have always, present tense, indicative mode, active voice. He continually has forever, tane zoane, accusing singular feminine. Definite art accuses singular feminine noun. The life. And then, here we have the other side of the coin. This is the ones that weren't persuaded. Brother Keith, the ones that weren't persuaded? The non-persuaded ones?
Is John summing up his opening remarks?
He's summing up the whole book here. He's summing up the whole book. Ho me ekon. Now here we have a particle of negation between the definite article and the thing that is describing, and look what it is. The one not having... If you don't believe in God the Son in His incarnation and resurrection, you don't have God and you don't have life.
Right.
That's the subject here. If you don't believe in the gospel, you don't have life. The one not having the Son of the God, the life not he has. He will not have life as long as he doesn't believe. And who is John writing against?
Well, the Gnostics, you said.
Oh, the Gnostics? All right.
Unbelievers.
Noetic? And the Corinthian Gnostics. They did not believe in the incarnation of God in the Son. John, one time when he was taking a bath in one area, he found that one of those Gnostics in there. Let's get out of here, lest it rub off on us. Lest it rub off on us. Let's get out of here. Tauta. Igrata. Himen. Edete. Hote. Zoane. Ekete. Eonion. Tois. Sisiousen. Ace. Soul. Onama, to, quiu, to, you. These things I write unto you that you might know that you have eternal life. Huh? Where do you have an extra word, brother?
Right after.
I definitely could have made a mistake. All right, let me look at this here.
Yeah, Hina.
Have I got an extra Hina in there or something?
No, you need an extra. You need a Hina in there after Hina.
I know, brother, you ain't going to get an A this semester.
Oh,
you
boy.
Just don't point out the mistakes of the rabbi.
That's just the way it is. Now we
I've got an F so long, I really don't
you
care.
Have to write it in. All right. 5 and verse 13. All right. Amen. And then I left out the Hina, didn't I? So right after Amen, write Hina. All right. Thank you, brother. Now that is a good student right there.
Boo. That's the best of us.
All right. Thank you. I told you right off the bat today that I have made copying errors. And this word should be in there. This one right here. Just like that. Hina. All right. So we found that. And that is in order of that. Okay? All right. On the first line at the end of it, right there next to Himen. It should be Kauta, Igrata, Himen, Hina. All right? So we got that corrected. I'm sure glad I confessed my sins and shortcomings before this class.
Well, not until after it was pointed out to you, though. Yeah, I mean, you know, a lot of criminals repent after they got caught.
Yeah. Well, see, I repented before I got caught, and then after I got caught, I said, see there, I told you I made a mistake.
Brother, we respect and admire your
repentance.
Honesty.
Honesty,
but stay away from us. We don't want it to rub off on us.
Don't want it to rub off on
no,
you.
No, we will stay in favor with the rabbi.
All right. What is the rabbi? What
teacher.
Teacher.
But what is it really?
He's a man in the synagogue.
The doctor of theology. That's who the rabbi is. The doctor. The guy with the doctor. The guy that's proven. Been through all the rigmarole, okay? Rabbi means doctor. Dr. Jesus. He was rabbi. Rabbi Jesus. All right, Dr. Jesus.
He didn't have to get one from their seminary, did he?
No, he got one from his father.
He was conferred on him for his time in work.
Yeah. These things I write to you all in order that. These things I write to you all. You all. Now that's what it says there, you all. All right? Hina, in order that ye may have known, ye may have known by experience that
you have
that life you have. That life you have, life eternal you have. Eternal, you have it. Now, you may know this if you read this book. You may know this if your pastor teaches you correctly. You may know this. You may know it. But life eternal, you have. Period. That's a fact. That life eternal you have. Second person plural. Present indicative active. All right. Remember that? O-A-S-A, Omen Eddie U-C-A? Right there it is. O-A-S-A, Omen Eddie. Eddie, second person plural, present, indicative, active. All right? You have eternal life. Now, the word Zoe and Aeonion there is separated, but it's right. It means eternal life. Life eternal, life ye have eternal. It describes what kind of life you have. It's eternal life. Tois, this using. All right, look at this. To the ones believing. Present participle active. Dative plural masculine. How many cases do we have in Greek?
Eight.
Nominative, genitive, optative, locative, instrumental, dative. This is a dative case, all right? Dative. To the ones believing. Ace. Ace to onoma. believing in the or because of the name. Same thing. Ace here, extension or limitation of thought or verbal action. That's what ace means. You write that one down. Write that until you get it. Okay, you've got to memorize that one. Believing because of the name of the Son of God. All right? Ace, because of. All right? Because, when I translated this, is a long time ago. I could write a little better than Brother David. That's before I went to school for 12 years.
Well, I noticed that here in the Johns that your Greek has improved from the beginning to the end dramatically.
Yeah. Well, I was learning.
Yeah.
This is the first book I ever translated in the New Testament, was 1 John. All right? And I was still writing in reference to, because my teacher said I better. My teacher was Peter Bergstrom.
what is the root word of pistiuson?
Oh, that's pistiu.
Pistiu?
Pistiu. I believe. I cling to. In the name of the Son of God.
You know the page number of that one by chance?
2.
Get me close.
2.
This is the first.
243. Somewhere around there. I don't look that one up very often. 243. Somewhere around. You'll be real close.
Yeah, that's close.
It's right around 246, 240 something. All right. It's right in that area. Okay. I was trying to see it. It wasn't coming through clear. Usually I used to just look and see the page number. Wasn't that nice when I had a brain?
We wouldn't have any idea. Too far back.
Oh, that was nice. That was nice when I had that recall.
You still have it.
Well, I still have some of it. A little of it.
That's still like
that's
like
the first one
old.
I see you hesitating.
That's like getting old and still having your looks. Maybe some of it.
You have looks when you get old.
Some
you still have looks.
You can recognize it.
All right. I hope you've enjoyed these verses that we've studied tonight. They were a real blessing to me. And we'll take off with this one next week because that's part of the rest of it.
Can I read one verse?
You can read it, brother.
You talk about identification of us with God and with His Son. Boy, this will do it. In Romans, naturally, 8 and 11, if the Spirit of Him, that is the Spirit of God, who raised Jesus from the dead, dwells in you, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal body through His Spirit who dwells in you. Now, buddy, that puts you in that tomb with the dead Christ. Because the Spirit, God's Spirit, which came into Him and made Him alive, is the same one that's in you if you're in Christ. And boy, that just sent me
all the coffin is, all a watery grave, all a casket is a hope chest.
Yeah.
But it's more than hope. It's held peace. It's a guaranteed future fact.
They can say the same thing it about is. Somebody's buried as they said about Jesus. He ain't here.
He is. The last funeral I did here, last Tuesday, or a week ago Tuesday, I said, she's not here. She is not here. She is with the Lord now. But God provided. God, not right now, but God has provided for the anastasia of that flesh that you have. Your body may be wearing out. I know Brother Keith said
it ain't maybe.
He's fine. He's been going right just fine there. He can see again and everything else.
I went to Dr. Bay and going back tomorrow.
Yeah. But our bodies do wear out, but I'm going to tell you what, God has made provision for them in the future. Yeah. He has made provision for your spirit, Neen, now. You are saved, and the Spirit is saved as you're ever going to get.
You're saved whether you're dead or alive. He got you.
But your body, one of these days, is going to be resurrected. And you will stand just like Christ stood again, and you'll be able to walk the walls if you want to.
I used to do that anyway.
You can do all this if you want to. Isn't that something? God has made provision for that.
Not
in the future. All right. Well, thank you for your devout attention. And it's good to have your wife here. Young lady, what is your name again?
Rora.
Yeah. It's good to have you in class tonight.
Drop the
Rora. Oh, on which end? There's a
on each end. My nickname's Cricket. Call me Dan.
Okay.
A lot of people can't get that Rora. I got it. Rora.
All right. Well, let's be dismissed in prayer. Brother John, do we have too many people for you to dismiss us tonight, or do you think you could do that?
I will pray.
You will pray?
Yes, I can. Yes, I can. Oh, Jesus, I just love you much. And I know that, Jesus, I do have a problem. And I don't remember things, and I don't say things. But this is the first man that ever come to ask me to pray. And I promise you that, but it's true. So, this is the first time. I prayed many times before, but sure, the preacher. And this. So he just touches me, okay? I do love him. Almost. I know this is the day that it is for all you people that sit here for a reason, and we listen and we learn so much. It's so good. I don't mean to pray. I'm sorry. I don't mean to say bad things to you guys, but this is the day. Okay? I listen so much to this man talk. It's so good. I learned so much to read, to understand. I know this is the day. Everybody's got to go home. So watch you guys. Make sure you'll be all right. All your moms and dads. I do love you much. Jesus. Amen, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
I just
thank you. Amen. Thank you, brother. Every time he prays, he touches our hearts.
Yes.
Thank you.
It's been a long time.
Sure.
And I went to introduce my wife.